Birthday song. That was interesting. It was good. Thank you, Jonathan. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for this day. It is good to be in your house, to be with your family, to worship, to glorify your name, to sing songs and hymns, and to pray and to fellowship, and now to listen to your word. We pray that our hearts will be open to your word. We listen to your word to grow, to be more like you. Be with those families that need your touch. We think of Carol and her celebration of her son's life today. We pray that you'll be with her in a special way. Be with the Glue family on Tuesday and this week as they celebrate Joyce's life. Father, we just thank you for each moment we have here. And as we look forward to the day that we'll be with you in heaven one day, thank you for your scriptures. Open our minds, our hearts up to your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So we continue in the book of John, the Gospel of John, and it's just such in the life of Christ, and as we're leading up to Easter, it's hard to believe Easter's just a month away, isn't it? Maybe a month and a few days, but it's going to come quick. And I hope that in your devotional reading and otherwise that you're keying into that fact. And it's always good to read through the Gospels through Easter time. Today we're in John chapter 13, and I'd like to go ahead and read this passage. It says about servanthood, being a servant. And so I'm going to start at verse 2. It says, "The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal and took off his outer clothing and wrapped a towel around his waist. And after that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with a towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, 'Lord, are you going to wash my feet?' Jesus replied, 'You do not realize now what I'm doing, but later you will understand.' 'No,' Peter says, 'you shall never wash my feet.' Jesus answered, 'Unless I wash you, you have no part with me.' Then Lord, Simon Peter replied, 'Not just my feet, but my hands, my head as well.' Jesus answered, 'Those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean. And you are clean, and though not every one of you, for he who was going to betray him, and that was why he said, not everyone was clean.' When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. 'Do you understand what I have done for you?' he asked them. 'You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Verily, truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor a master greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them.'" Wow. What a picture of an evening. And here's several things going on. He's teaching them about servanthood. And yet also he expresses his future. He knows what his future is, but also he expresses what his betrayer is among them. And so, but the focus we want to focus on tonight is Jesus teaching us about three things about being a servant. being a servant. It's not something we really think about a lot, is it? Being a servant, is it? In our culture, we do stretch out and volunteerism and servanthood that way, but really, we don't talk about servanthood in that sense a lot. But here, he teaches us about mission. His servanthood was part of mission. In verse 3 there, where it talks about, he says, Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. See, Jesus knew his mission. His mission was to come to this earth, to not just save those who he was with, but to save you and I. That his mission was to die on the cross. His mission was to resurrect from the dead. He knew his mission. And it's so important that we understand our mission, because our mission is not much different, because he gave us the Great Commission, and that we're to go out and seek people and gain followers for Jesus in that sense. And he came to redeem mankind, to redeem you and me. That was his mission. So he teaches about mission, about purpose. And as Christians, we should be about that purpose, about redeeming others in the name of Jesus. And to be a servant, you must understand mission. If you don't understand mission, you're probably not very big on serving other people. So, I mean, and some people serve without purpose, but I tell you, when you have purpose, you really do serve. You serve differently because you have purpose and you have mission, you have goals, you know who you are as a Christian. And so it's important, and one of the things that he's teaching was, he teaches us about mission, that we need to understand who we are as people. Some people go through life not knowing who they are at all, but as Christians, we need to know who we are. It's so important to understand who you are as a people. Jesus knew his destiny. He had knowledge and his origin. He knew in that verse that, he came from God and he was going to go back to God, but his mission in the meantime was to redeem mankind. It's so powerful in that sense. And I think about that. Some people have entitled this, what happens here, and we'll talk about humility next, as part of being a servant, but some people call it, one called it Basin theology. And you say, Basin theology, what's that? Well, there's two people that used a basin in the story of Jesus when he was getting prepared to die. It's like this. A pastor of First Presbyterian Church in Pittsburgh told the conversation of a member of his flock, said, "You preachers talk a lot about do unto others. But when you get right down to it, it comes down to basin theology." So he asked, "What's basin theology?" Well, the layman said, "Remember what Pilate did when he had the chance to acquit Jesus? He called for a basin, and he washed his hands of the whole thing. But Jesus, the night before his death, he called for a basin, and then proceeded to wash the disciples' feet. It all comes down to basin theology. And the question then is, which one will you use?" Well, obviously, as Christians, we need to use the one that Jesus did, that we serve one another, that we wash one another's feet, we love one another, we do for others. We serve others all the time. And so we choose Jesus' basin theology, not Pilate's to acquit, but we do as servanthood in that sense. To be a servant, a lot of times I use this in my marriage. That sounds funny, doesn't it? But not really. If you've been married or you are married, I always think part of the purpose of a marriage is to serve what? The other person. To be a servant to the other person. And it should be that way in a marriage. It should be that way as a Christian. We're there to serve other people in the name of Jesus, obviously. So important. So Jesus teaches three things about servanthood. One is about mission. He knew where he came from, as it said in verse 3. He knew where he's going, and his purpose was to redeem mankind. And so us as Christians need to be about that too. The second is he teaches us about humility. Verse 14. Now, humility is not an option for believers, for you and me. We are supposed to be humble. As Christians, we need to be humble. It's not really an option. And we must put others first before ourselves. And for some people, that's hard. But that's what it's about, putting other people first. We are to be servants by example. Modeling is so important. People learn more by what you do than what you say. People watch all the time. They watch what you say, and they watch what you do. But what you do has more power and influence than what you say. And people remember what you do. It's so, so important. And that's, you know, a big part. Humility, we need to be humble. And we need to be servants by example. To be humble, you know, you think about the phrase when people talk about pride before fall. We don't need to be pride people. We need to be focused on being servants and having humility. It's amazing in that sense. I encounter in a meeting this week of a person who, before they went into the pastorate, they had been a nurse. And they were the type of nurse that helped take care of people and bathe people and wash people's feet. And this pastor, excuse me, shared how they really never understood when they went into the ministry what they had done in their prior life as a nurse changed their whole outlook as a pastor. Because then they saw serving differently because they had served people literally, physically, you know, gave them baths and washed their feet. And I'm not saying that we all do that, but we still can watch and care and love people and serve people. And that's really what it is all about in that sense. You know, we equate servanthood in our society more with volunteerism. We don't call it servanthood so much, we call it more like volunteers. Are you going to volunteer to go help here? Are you going to go help at the rescue mission? Are you going to go help with do the shoe boxes or do whatever? You know, it's important. And we think of it, instead of serving, we think of volunteerism. People, an interesting piece here. You know, you live longer if you are a servant or if you volunteer. People who serve or help others are healthier and live longer. The one was of conclusions that a team headed by a professor at Case Western University of Medicine evaluated 50 scientific studies of volunteers. Now think about this as maybe 50 volunteers that are servants. One of these studies was from Cornell University, and they spent 30 years following 427 women who were married and had children. Researchers found out that only 36% of the women who regularly volunteered had experienced major illness, while 52% of those who never volunteered had a major illness. Wow. So you're going to be healthier if you serve other people or volunteer. And as Christians, we should be serving all the time. It's important. Other studies indicated that those who served or volunteered their time lived longer than those who didn't. Frequent volunteers or servants had a 44% reduction in early death and compared to non-volunteers. And then scientists also identified, and I think this is, you know, it's interesting because it kind of comes from a secular point of view, but it still is proving that if you volunteer and if you serve and if you're a servant, that there's, there's joy in it, actually. Scientists identified precise areas of the brain that have highly active during when a person is empathetic or compassionate with emotions. Think about that. That's like caring. These brain studies show that this profound state of joy and delight that comes from giving to others. It was posted that it doesn't come from any dry action, but where the act is out of duty in the narrowest sense, like writing a check for a good cause. It comes from working to cultivate generous quality. From the interacting with people, there is the smile, the tone, the voice, the touch on the shoulder. We're talking about authentic love, authentic serve one another, authentic love one another. You know, love one another and serve one another go together. You know, and to do that, you need to be humble. I think it's, you ever washed, you know, Jesus used the illustration, the example of washing feet. Have you ever washed somebody else's feet? Most of us are like, no, we really don't want to. You know, but there is a humbling act to that. And obviously, being humble is an important, is an attitude from the heart. That when we serve somebody else, no matter what it is, that it has to come from our heart. We have to care. It's about loving other people. You know, and Jesus said, love one another, care about one another, serve one another. That's what it's about. And it takes humility to do it right. So that's one of the things he was teaching. He was teaching that we need to know a mission, we need to be humble. And the last part is, he teaches by example, because he did it himself. You know, he sat down, the 12 were there at the table, and they, you know, he knew what was going to happen, that he was going to die. He knew that Judas was at the table. He knew that he was the one who was going to betray him. And yet he turned around and served him. He served all of them. And of course, Peter says, oh, no, no. And he had to straighten Peter out. But he teaches by example. I think about all of Jesus' life ministry. You think about his 3 years of ministry that he had. We talk about his 3 years of ministry. What did he do in that time period? He touched people's eyes to heal him. He healed people who were crippled. I think about the woman who just wanted to touch his cloak. And others were condemning, but he said, no, she has faith. She's been healed. He cared. Being a servant is caring and loving other people, serving them. And that's what we need to be. And he did that all the way through the Gospels. We see that all the way through the Gospels, how he did that. Character, when I say character, I'm talking about who we are, is a huge part of being a servant. You can tell when people serve and they don't mean it. You can tell when people serve and they really do care and they really do love. Character is part of it. So he was an example to those 12 who went. You know, you and I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for that. And then they shared the gospel throughout the world, and then it multiplied. And it's something that when they're an example, it can be copied. Think back in your mind. Is there somebody in your life that was an example of a servant? There had to be. I think of my father. I remember him doing things, and it was not part of our conversation. I was in the other room, and I remember him and my mom having a conversation, and he says, well, I needed to take these groceries over to so-and-so because they were, it was another person that he worked with, because they were in need. He never knew I heard that conversation, but that stood out to me as an example of caring for other people. We all have probably had examples. You may be the example for somebody else. People watch you, whether you know it or not, all the time, by what you do and what you say. It's so important in that sense. There was a rabbi who, this is called the rabbi's discipline, or actually it could be a disciple, but it's about humility and love and servanthood. In a small Jewish town in Russia, a rabbi disappeared every Friday morning for several hours. His devoted disciples boasted that during those hours, their rabbi went to heaven and talked to God. Sounds delightful. A stranger who moved into the town was skeptical, so he decided to check things out. He hid and watched the rabbi. The rabbi got up in the morning, said his prayers, and then dressed in peasant's clothes. He grabbed an axe and went to the woods and cut some firewood, which then he hauled to a shack on the outskirts of the village, where an old woman and her sick son lived. The rabbi left them the wood and went home. He'd been serving, obviously. The newcomer became the rabbi's what? Disciple. Now, whenever he hears the villagers say, "On Friday morning, our rabbi ascends to heaven," the newcomer quietly adds, "If not higher." You know, it's the whole idea that he, you know, it was great that he went and said the prayers, and we should do that. But it was greater. It was so much more because of the example. You know, he went out, and he did it humbly. He put on the peasant's clothes. He went out. He cut the wood for the woman and her sick son. You know, he served. He was a servant. He was loving the people. Jesus teaches so much more about servanthood, but these are just three things. He knew his mission, and he knew he did it with humility and by example. And we, if there's something that we can do as Christians, we can be better servants. All of us can be better servants. In fact, it says in the Gospels, and I think it's Matthew 10:45, it says, Jesus did not come to be served, but to serve. That was one of his purposes of even coming to earth, was to serve you and to serve me. That's what he did on the cross. He served us. He gave us forgiveness of sins. He gave us redemption. He gave us life eternal, all by serving.